God has blessed us to be able to see this beautiful day. And also, in case you guys haven't noticed already, the ad for the church has been put into the paper. And it's a good size ad, too. So, it's a good thing to see. God is continuing to bless us to be blessed in this world, to do what we need to do. This morning, I want to take time to look at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The title of my message is The Source of Wisdom. And James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. It reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Some people say there's no fool like an old fool. And that's said because it's common to expect older people to think and act in a more sensible manner than some younger people. And that is a common expectation because we typically believe that wisdom comes with age. But history has taught us that in many cases that is not always the truth. And still, many people believe that the more knowledge you have and the more you learn, the wiser you should become. And while that seems to make sense, there are highly educated men, multiple PhDs, who have declared that they are atheists. And while the world may consider them knowledgeable and wise, God's word declares them as fools, because they have said in their heart, "There is no God." Yeah. One could spend their entire life reading every page of every book in every library and still not come to full wisdom. Yeah. Hermann Hesse, a German novelist and poet, once said, "Knowledge can be communicated, but wisdom cannot. A man can find it, he can live it, he can be filled and sustained by it, but he cannot utter it or teach it." And this is primarily because wisdom is typically gained through experience. The Greek word used here in verse 5 for wisdom is sophia, which is defined as wisdom, broad and full of intelligence, used of the knowledge of very diverse matters, the wisdom which belongs to men, specifically the very knowledge of things human and divine, acquired by acuteness and experience, and summed up in the Maxims and Proverbs. In chapter 1 of the book of James, we see a discourse on the value of trials in our lives. Verses 1 through 4 encourages us to change our mindset when it comes to tribulations that we experience. And you see that he mentions one of the benefits of those trials we face as being a buildup of our endurance. And in verse 4, he says, "So that the patience that is developed through this process will help us to be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing." In verse 5, of all the things that he says we could be lacking, he mentions wisdom. There are times when we really want something so bad that we pray about it. But sometimes God says no, because all too often we ask for things that he knows are not good for us. But this is the one thing where it's almost guaranteed that God will make sure that you get it. When he says, "Ask for wisdom, and he who gives generously will give it to you." Yeah. Because when we learn from those experiences, Our understanding of how God works is expanding, giving us a greater access to the joy that he provides. In Proverbs of Solomon, we see an exhortation from a father to his children. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding." In chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding."
Amen.
He says that wisdom is the most important thing. It's important to understand how to apply the things that we know. And this is true for every aspect of our lives. Every day we have to make decisions that will affect the rest of our day, and sometimes decisions that will affect the rest of our lives. Wisdom will help us to know the difference and make choices that will benefit us in the long run and not just be good for us in the moment. Every time I sit in my favorite spot in my living room, I am sitting just a few feet away from my exercise bike. And now, wisdom would tell me to spend the first 15 minutes of my day riding that bike for various health benefits. But the flesh doesn't think about the long term. The flesh only lives for the moment. Very often it chooses just to be comfortable and sit down. And while there are many times when it is absolutely necessary to know when to just stop and be still, those times don't come so frequently that we need to be spending all our time doing nothing. And that's why understanding is so important, because wisdom doesn't always take you down the path of least resistance. Sometimes it's necessary to move outside your comfort zone. Ultimately, the thing that we have to focus on is the fact that the things that we go through that we endure through are also struggles that help us to live our lives and be the kind of people that God would have us to be. And wisdom will help us to approach each of these circumstances with the right attitude. But that's why it's important to ask God. In the middle of the trials and tribulations we often go through, we can get so wrapped up in what we go through, the things that we're dealing with. We put all our energy and our strength into troubleshooting that we oftentimes forget that the first step should be for us to go to God.
Amen.
We have to make sure that we put our situations and our circumstances in his hands. He will help us to understand how to appropriately approach the situation, and will help us to have joy in the midst of that circumstance.
Yeah.
James says that God gives liberally and without reproach. That word liberally in the Greek means simply, openly, sincerely, without having second thoughts. God doesn't hold back wisdom and understanding, and he gives liberally to all, not just to the people with degrees. Not just to the people standing in the pulpit and teachers in classes. Not just to men. Someone said that God is the God of the open hand, not the clenched fist.
Amen.
God is not going to hold something back from you because you're not part of some hard to get into exclusive society. God has commanded us to give because that is what is in his heart to do. He is willing to give to us liberally, especially when it comes to wisdom. Another point James makes is that God is not in the business of mocking us because we seek wisdom. When Solomon asked God for wisdom, God didn't talk down to him and try to make him feel bad about the fact that he didn't know something or he wasn't wise already. As a matter of fact, the very next verse after Solomon had made this request says that the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked. The very fact that he wanted to know better how to serve God and how to serve his people, that made God happy. He wasn't interested in what. Oftentimes when we're growing up, we have a tendency of in our classrooms not wanting to raise our hand and ask a question because we don't want to seem like we don't know something. And sometimes we feel like we're going to be ridiculed for the fact that we don't know as much as some people think we should know. But with God, there are no stupid questions.
Amen.
Carl Sagan famous astronomer and astrophysicist said there are naive questions, tedious questions, ill-phrased questions, questions put after inadequate self-criticism, but every question is a cry to understand the world. There is no such thing as a dumb question. A woman recounting a story about an old man who used to answer all her stupid questions explained, "Chica, if you ask a question, it makes you look stupid for 5 minutes. But if you don't ask a question, you will stay stupid for 50 years. So ask questions in your life."
Amen.
Contrary to what some people may say, ignorance is never truly blissful. God wants us to understand.
Amen.
He wants us to understand why we believe and what we believe. He requires faith, but he has never said for us to have blind faith. God is much bigger than any question that we can come up with, so he's not going to put us down for wanting to expand our understanding about life and about his word. When I first became a Christian, and actually for a few years after that, I fell into that trap of not wanting to ask questions, because you hear oftentimes in sermons how we're supposed to study and to show ourselves approved unto God, and how that led me to believe there was so much that I needed to know. I should have known certain facts, and certain things come up when you talk to people out there in the world, and you wonder about this question because you don't really know it. And so there was those times when I just felt like almost ashamed to ask questions. But the thing is, God is constantly making sure that I was encouraged to ask questions.
Amen.
That I should open up and to find out and to seek out information. And that is what helped me get to this point now, when I can stand before God's people and preach his word, is because God continued to answer the questions that I had.
Amen.
And I realize and understand that there are many people who have those same questions. And besides that, In many cases, we gotta realize that God is like a parent. And parents, and most parents are eager to explain to their kids when they come and ask them questions. If your kid comes and asks you if the moon is made out of cheese, you're not gonna sit there and make them feel foolish for asking that question, even though you know it's a crazy question, but you know that you want to help them to understand the truth. And so you will do everything in your power to teach them. In verse number 6, he says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." A request for wisdom should be made like every other request from God, by faith. And Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Having faith isn't a matter of, isn't limited to just wanting something more than anything else. Having faith is not simply saying you are claiming it in Jesus' name. Everything God does and is willing to do for his people has been revealed in his word. He has already promised what he will do in scripture. Your wants and desires need to be in line with his word, so that means sometimes the things, even some things that you may think are good, may not be received, because it may be withheld because of the wrong intentions.
Yeah.
Think about for a second Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer offered money to the apostles so that he could be able to lay hands on people and give them the Holy Spirit. Now, just looking at it from an outside perspective, it seems like that's a good thought. Hey, we can spread the Spirit more. If other people could do this, it's a good thing. But we know for a fact that he was condemned for the intent of his heart. He was just focused on money and having people come to him to do what he was already trying to do out there when he was dealing with sorcery. Even though he had gotten into the church, he believed in God and everything, he still held on to that same mindset that he had when he was out there in the world. Now, with that being said, it should be noted also that a closed mouth won't get fed. you make sure that you have the right intentions, but at the same time, make sure that you even ask God the first time. Sometimes we feel we don't ask God for what we want because we're afraid that we're not going to get it. But as I said, if we are focused on doing God's will and we are acquainted with His word, then we already know what God will bless us with and what He won't.
Amen.
You know, you don't have to, you know, you already know. If you come to God and ask Him for, you know, a big mansion and $50 million, the question already comes up in your mind. Why do you really need that? It should, anyway. You know, I mean, sometimes we lose sight of what is really most important. But the thing is, we have to realize that God is more willing to bless those of us when we have a right heart. That is a heart that isn't self-centered. Because if you are focused on what's important to God, to His agenda, and not just your own, then that will cast out doubt. That will cast out whether or not you will get wisdom or get anything that you ask God for. When you submit your life to His will, you have an all-encompassing trust in God.
Amen.
The New King James Version says, without doubt, but the King James says without wavering. The word there in Greek is diakrino. It means to separate thoroughly, i.e. literally and reflexively, to withdraw from, or by implication, oppose, figuratively to discriminate, by implication, decide, or reflexively hesitate, contend, make difference, discern, doubt, judge, be partial, stagger, or waver. Basically, it's saying, one minute you trust in God, and the next minute you don't. That's why James calls this type of person double-minded. The way I see it, this type of person is like a fair-weather friend. Person who's, you know, when everything is going good and you got money, they're there for you. But when things get rough, they're nowhere to be found. People like this don't have a solid foundation. James says they're like a wave of the sea, without rest, driven by the winds, unstable. He says in verse number 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. A very literal translation of the phrase double-minded is two-spirited, i.e. vacillating in opinion or purpose, divided in interest. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other.
Amen.
When it comes down to it, are you the kind of person who is trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven? Do you really want to live your life according to God's will? Or is it really just about what you want? Can you really let go of the firm grip that you have on your life so that you can see what God can do with it?
Yeah.
God wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to grow in understanding and prosper, but it has to be done His way. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 11 said, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you.
Amen.
He said, understanding will keep you. You know, one of the first things, key things that separate us, a child of God, from the people of the world, is the fact that we see the value there is in living a life for God.
Amen.
That's one of the first things that separates us from the people of the world. And as I said earlier, just having book knowledge isn't really enough. Mm-hmm. Scripture becomes invaluable when we put it into practice. You can sit there and you can know the Bible backwards and forward, but if you're not using it in your life, what does it really mean to you?
Amen.
God has provided and continues to provide tons of resources in this world, in books and tapes and preachers and teachers, senior saints and people who have spent a great portion of their lives studying God's word, dedicated to doing his will, all for the purpose of ensuring that we can grow spiritually and develop into the people he created us to be. Ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you. I have been studying God's word for 25 years, and I still need wisdom every day. God wants to bless his children with wisdom. As children of God, we are on a journey that is ongoing until that day when we are united with God in heaven. So we don't have time to be double-minded. We don't have time to be focused on the world and trying to have two mindsets. Yeah. We need to be single-minded in purpose and thought and how we live our lives, approaching life and circumstances according to how he sees things, not just how we see things.
Yeah.
When we allow God to have his way, then we can be like the people that Jeremiah talked about. And he said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 through 8, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Instead of being unstable, we will be stable in all our ways." And this can only come by seeking and embracing the wisdom of God.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of things that we can learn in this world. And a whole lot of things that we can get ourselves involved with. But nothing can take the place of having God's wisdom in your life. You see, God said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And he's specifically talking about the knowledge of his word. And it's not just knowing it. It's about, is it a part of you? Are you the kind of person who is living the life that God would have you live? We really think about it. I mean, you're trying to get to heaven. You have to be the kind of people that he wants to spend eternity with. Nobody wants to spend eternity with somebody who's, you know, you don't want to be around. That's what some people jump out of their marriage because they made the mistake of getting with somebody they didn't even really know. But make sure that this is the path that you want. Live according to the way God wants you to live, and you will have an eternity of blessings. Seek God's wisdom, and he will bless you. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known, because God is constantly working towards the betterment of his children. He is constantly working towards making sure that you are growing, being the kind of people that he wants to be, he wants you to be. Whatever your needs are, let them be known, as together we stand and sing the invitations.